Welcome. You're tuned in to Republic Broadcasting. This is Clint Richardson coming at you. Deanna's taking a little break this week. She will, of course, return to you next week. She asked me to fill in. That's how you got me today, so sorry about that. I want to talk to you today. I want to teach you some things that I've learned. I don't want to change your mind about anything. I don't want to, go against... All I want to do is speak the truth to you today. And unfortunately, the truth often destroys belief systems, destroys what is unfortunately what many scholars have called an active ignorance of people. There's a lot of crap going around. You know, we're finally seeing the crap that Alex Jones has been pulling all these years now that he's had to testify about it. Go ahead, send me your apologies for the years that I've been telling you he's crooked. It's okay, I'll accept him and I'll forgive everybody who said I was crazy. The warnings that I laid down about that guy, you know, I fell for it too. But there's unfortunately a lot of Alex Joneses out there. There's a lot of wannabe Alex Joneses out there, though I can't imagine why. And maybe it's the money, the $50 million a year he claimed to make. I don't know. I'm more interested in the truth. And I hope that you who are listening today wants to know the truth. And I'm going to start out today with some of the basics, because there are certain self-evident truths, in other words, things that cannot be disputed. Another word for that is things of nature, things of reality. God is said to be truth. So if you believe in anything that is untrue and call it God, well, then something's wrong. Well, what is truth but substance, nature, self-existence, self-evidence? That's how it's defined, actually. The name of God, Jehovah, is actually defined as nature, the universe, self-evident, self-existence, things that don't need words to exist. And see, that's our problem, is we're suffering from a massive, massive inductination, if that's a word. We're inducted into the digital realm. Well, you think the digital realm is just, what, virtual reality, maybe computers, the internet? No. Think about what a digit is. A digit is a number, a letter, a symbol, all strung together to create a matrix, a code that we're all stuck in. Well, what is the law? The law of men is called the written law. Well, if something's written, it must be digital. Digits, whether they're numbers or letters or symbols, they're all created by man. There are no digits in truth. There are no digits in nature. We would say then that God did not create anything that's not of nature. So, who created digits? Well, you know who created them. It wasn't horses. It wasn't cows. It wasn't the trees. No, it was men. Now, while men are certainly part of nature, what men create is not. And what are they trying to create? Something, a term that you're all familiar with, Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order, as they say. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're translating that actually in a way that doesn't allow you to understand what that means. You've been taught to hate religion, and I understand religion is a problem because it doesn't follow the Bible in any way, shape, or form. I get it. However, there's a difference between religion and acting religiously. One is a noun, a corporation, and one is a verb or an adjective. It is to act in a religious manner, which means a spiritual, unwritten law. Law of nature, law of truth, the self-evident law. Well, charity, forgiveness, that type of thing, love, all the highest aspects of the law of nature, right? Protection of that nature, protection of our habitat, for God's sake. Look at what we've allowed to happen. Well, that's all part of the novo ordo seclorum. You see, the problem with this term is that we don't know Latin. There's a reason they said New World Order, because you think of the world as the world. Hey, it's just the world. You don't distinguish. You don't think of that term in its proper form, which is a new or novel, in other words, patentable, copyrightable, something that is not of nature, a new novel, ordo, which means an order, and we'll get to that word in a minute, seclorum. Well, seclorum is not translated as world, although that is certainly a synonym. Seclorum is secularism. Seclorum, secular. You see? Because we're missing that important point, we don't understand what it means to have a new world order. A new secular order. One that is not of nature. One that is patentable. One that is uninterruptible. And it cannot be defeated as long as you have put your faith into it instead of into nature, into God. Into the universe, into the law of nature, law of God. And all these things all mean the same thing. And secularism is that which is opposed to that. To opposed to acting freely, to having liberty, which means you must be self-governing. You must respect nature and its law. And you must respect each other. You must show charity, love, forgiveness, all these things that would completely defeat the legal system. This is secular. This is the new secular order. What does secular mean? Well, how about we go to the synonym dictionary? Secular, as an adjective, is the characteristic of those who are not members of the clergy. Well, what does that actually mean when you say clergy? It means you're not part of the families, the bloodlines. You're not part of those who created the system. You're the goyim. Another word for goyim is national. You're part of the nation. You're not part of the state. You're in their corporation. You're in a status created by them, by Congress, not a status that created Congress. You see, that's the difference. And so, all throughout the world, you have the state, which is the people, the bloodlines, and you have the nation, which is the place where the goyim are kept in the open-air debtor's prison. That's where that is the secular world. You'll argue, I'm not a citizen of the United States. I'm a national of the United States. Okay, look up the word nation. You see, what you're doing is you're mistaking the notion that your name is your own. No, you cannot say you cannot go from a person of the United States to something else. The person was created by the United States because the person is not you, it's a status. You're respecting an artificial construct. You're saying I am the same identity, which means sameness. I am the same as that name. That's what identity means. Sameness. You're saying you are something you are not, and that is against the law of nature. When I say the law of nature, I mean, in other words, it's against. You're saying your source is not nature. Your source is the state. The people who created the United States, a corporation, to enslave you. Oh, but you're going to raise that flag, aren't you? You're going to be all patriotic. You're going to say, I love America. You're going to raise the war flag of the United States, the admiralty flag that indicates international law, not private state law. And you're going to love that flag. You're going to be all patriotic, and you're going to have Stockholm syndrome. Now, this whole thing is set up as a test. You're supposed to pass the test. You must be governed until you can govern yourself. And in order to govern yourself, you've got to learn all this stuff. So what is the new order of secularism? Well, that's what you're seeing. That's the United Nations. See, this is the problem. You talk about the new world order just constantly, but you have no idea what it actually means because that one word is missing. You know what it means? It's the opposite of spiritual. What the characteristics of those who are not members of the clergy, in other words, the government, the church, right? Synonyms to that are lay, profane, right? The antonyms to that are sacred, unpaid, right? In other words, a mercenary is one who is paid. The word soldier comes from the Roman coin of the same name. A soldier, you're a paid mercenary for that which enslaves the rest of your fellow goyim. Real smart. Okay, a natural object is something that is not secular. A conductor of something is not secular. The source of things, in other words. Okay, number two, secular is a characteristic of or devoted to the temporal world as opposed to the spiritual world. Now, don't get all weird and think, oh, that's religion. No, the spiritual world is referring to what exists self-evidently, it's self-existent. The spiritual world is nature. The temporal world, or the secular world, is that which is opposed to nature, that which man creates. Remember, man is part of nature, but what he creates is not. And if you're focused on what is not of nature, then you're a slave to man. Synonyms for the adjective secular in this case are mercenary. If you're a kid, a soldier is a mercenary. You can't look at the definition of mercenary in any dictionary and say every soldier is not a mercenary. You're a paid hitman. Material. That is secular. Materialism, profaneness, sophisticated things. You know what sophisticated actually means? You might want to look that word up. It means a device, something that's overly complicated on purpose to trick you. That's what sophisticated is. That's why they call these men of power, these men of words, sophisticated. They're spouting a bunch of crap, and so they sound sophisticated. That's not a good word. Mundane, worldly-minded. Remember, the word secular or seclorum is translated into the word world. And this is important. We're going to get to that. Worldly-minded, worldly, and temporal. Again, earthly, terrestrial, economics is secularism, materialistic. The antonyms, again, unworldly, sacred, heavenly, naive, in other words, innocent, and an insulator. Secularism, not concerned with or devoted to religion. All right? But remember, what is religion? There's two forms of every word. That's a self-evident truth that every word has a singular meaning. It is not a self-evident truth that every word has a dualistic meaning, more than one meaning, and that's our problem. We absolutely know that there's no purpose for a word unless it has a singular meaning, but what we don't realize is that every word has an opposite meaning, and that's called legalism. That's called secularism, because everything in the secular world is artificial. It's fake. It's not real. It's not part of nature. It's not a creation of quote-unquote God, i.e. Jehovah. Jehovah is defined as nature, the universe. That's why it's specifically written that way in the Bible. If you take the word God in the Bible and you look at every time it's used, most of the time it refers to a king, a magistrate, a judge, some man with power, with a title of power. That is what God means in the Bible. Very seldom does it say or refer to Jehovah. It refers to words like Elohim, the gods, meaning magistrates, judges, kings. Right? And so you look at the Bible and you've been taught to think that God is this horrible, horrible beast that does horrible, horrible things. Well, if you want to think that about nature itself, then you go right ahead. But all those horrible things that were done in the Bible, look up the word God, you'll find it's a man instructing people to do horrible things or doing horrible things through his mercenary army. Secular, not concerned with or devoted to religion. Lay, impious, profane, worldly, temporal, earthly, profanatory. Again, same thing. What is the antonym? Non-commercial. What is the legal system? What is the nation? It's a commercial entity. The laws of commerce and international trade, international law. It is the law of the sea, which is international, laid upon the law of the land, and you were put into it through birth certification, registration. That is secular. That is commercial. That is the word. Again, heavenly, sacred. These are things that are not secular. And don't take these things, again, as anything but utopia, which is the utopia means a well-laid garden. In other words, topiary. A topiary that is good, as opposed to dystopia, which is a bad topiary. What's a topiary? A garden. It's a Garden of Eden. As soon as you bring the secular into that garden, it's tainted. It becomes a dystopia. You cannot help that from happening, because you're not self-governing. You are tolerant, therefore, of all things against your non-secular religion, if you will, your religious actions. Remember, if you look up the terms freedom of religion and religious freedom, they are two completely separate things. Words are everything. The way and the order of words are everything. If you have the freedom of religion, that means you can believe anything you want. That's what you have in the United States, the corporation, the nation, the district. That's what you have under Caesar, the district, the incarnation of the district, the personification of what Caesar is the district. The word district means distraint, distress, and seizure, and that's exactly what has happened to you. And if you have freedom of religion, that means you can believe whatever the hell you want, and you can do nothing about it. You have the freedom to believe, as defined in, I believe, Black's Fourth Dictionary, which is, of course, reference to a court case. You have the freedom to believe, but not the freedom to act on your beliefs. This is the difference between corporate religion under the legal system and a man acting religiously, or what's called in the dictionaries a religious man. They're afraid of a truly religious man. They're not afraid of Christians, because Christians are legal entities. It's a flattering title. It means nothing. It means you might believe, you might read the Bible, but you're doing nothing about it. You're not following the law, the doctrine of the Bible. You just say, I'm a Christian. Hey, all is good. It's false. It's idolatry. It means absolutely nothing. However, if you have religious freedom, which is impossible in a nation, because you're under the legal law, not God's law, not the law of nature. If you have religious freedom, the way that's defined, it actually means that you have the right to believe and to act upon those beliefs. In other words, you follow a moral law, a non-secular law. What is the goal of the New World Order? To create a non-spiritual written system of law that prevents you from acting morally, that prevents you from being a spiritual being, that prevents you from protecting nature against the corporations, including governments, that are destroying it. That is freedom of religion. But if you have religious freedom, hey, that's different. Then you get to act on your beliefs. And we'll continue this after the break. Stay tuned.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. Have to teach the children about living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in their hands. Watching us close, they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand.
All right, folks, welcome back. The fourth definition, again, is someone of secular, someone who's not a clergyman or a professional person. Person means status, and professional means someone who professes to be something they're not. Now, as a common person, they go goyim, essentially, the lowest possible status of United States citizenship or other national citizenship. Remember, the nation is Washington, D.C. You're not in the states. You're intruding. You're an enemy. You're a foreigner in the states. You're not part of the private people, the states. Those two words mean the same thing. You're part of the United States, a status created by Congress, and therefore subject to the rules and laws of Congress, i.e. the representatives of the true people. You are not the people. If you were the people couldn't sue you. Think of it that way. Now, again, secular, someone who's not a clergyman or a professional person. Well, here's the synonyms. Common person, a commoner, a lay reader, a layman, a temporality, a common man, a laity, or a lay person. Now, what is the opposite? The antonym is clergy, clergyman, or unbodied, incorporeal. Well, folks, that means unincorporated. Unbodied, you're exactly what nature produced you as, i.e. what God created you as. Remember, these terms don't need to be taken literally as much as understanding they are the very foundation, basic aspect of law. Your creator is either God or government. Your master is either God or government. Your law is either God's law or legal law of government. You cannot have two masters. You cannot say you're Christian while following the law of man. It is absolutely ridiculous to think that that's possible. And again, if you're inside the matrix, you can't practice the law of nature. The matrix is false, and so is its law. You cannot be a Christian and also be in an artificial system, because God is truth. You see, this stuff starts to make a whole lot of sense when you take it metaphorically, as the Bible was intended to be taken. Not historically, metaphorically. Every term in the Bible has a metaphorical and a literal meaning. The reason for that is because you must know the, you must know what a rock is, for instance, a hard, substantial surface, a great foundation, in order to understand why you are the rock. Because you're the metaphoric, the people. The church is the people. The church is the rock, right? Right. The people are the rock. The church means people. You hear church, you think of a building or a corporation. No, the people are the church, and a people that is in a quote-unquote corporation, a church, a religion, are not a rock. They are under the artificial law. They have no foundation. That's the whole point. Secularism is that which has no nature, no foundation. It is all artificial, and that's what they want you to be in. They want you to stop recognizing yourself, as you well know, as a race. They want you to stop. That's what racism is. There was no such thing as racism. There was only race back in Webster's day. If you look up racism, you're not going to find it in older dictionaries because it didn't exist. And Deanna has probably expressed that racism was something that communists used to call people, just like they're going to call me anti-Semite if I speak badly about what the Jews are doing in Israel. They're going to call me anti-Semite, or if you're a Jew, you're a self-hating Jew, which is a very interesting cultural phenomenon. It's all to defeat argument. You see, if you call me a racist, what do? I can't do anything. Because it's not real. There's no such thing as racism, because race means family. Look it up. It means your bloodline. And what they want you to do is put yourself exactly where you are, in attainder. You know the Constitution? Constitution says, hey, no bills of attainder shall be issued. Well, what does that mean? It means corruption of blood. In other words, corruption of race, corruption of family, corruption of your ability to bear arms. What does that mean? To provide your family bloodline. To say, I am not of the state, I am of the blood. I am of God. My law is private, not public. I'm not a commoner. I profess, I'm a professional. I am not common, I'm not secular. That is the private people. That is the state. State means people. They're the ones who sue you through their government they created, which in turn created your status as a goyim, a national citizen. You know, that thing in Washington, D.C. that you fly its flag? Oh, yes. So there we go. Go back to the etymology of secular.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me.
It starts with you,
it starts with you and me.
All right, folks. Welcome back. This is the Deanna Spingola Show. I'm Clint Richardson filling in today. And we're talking about the New World Order, or rather the new secular order that they have set up and that we have fallen for, we've been tricked into. Now, it's very important to understand that when the 1600s, when people started coming over to this new world, ironically, this new secular place, when they said the New World, they actually meant the geography. They actually meant, hey, this is old patch of land that, while it's inhabited already, we intend to take over, right? So they actually meant the world in that case. But when you say the world and refer to man's world, that's completely different. Remember, in the Bible, right, truth or God is not of this world, not of man's world. It's very important to when you say the word God, you're saying the word truth. If you think of anything else, if you have an image, an idol in your mind as anything other than the universe, the oneness of all existence, of life itself, you included, then you've got the wrong definition of Jehovah. You've got the wrong, what is truth? Truth is never the words, the digits that come out of men's mouths or are on paper. That is never the truth. It can represent the truth, it can simulate the truth, but that which is similar is never the same. That's a maxim of law in every possible thing in science and everything else. Okay, law, everything. What is similar is not the same. That's why they want you to identify yourself or say your insameness with something fictional. They've got you then. So the second you say, I am Clint Richardson, hey, they got me. They got me. I'm theirs. I'm their slave. I am owned by them because I say I am their person, their status. I am the same as that status they created. That's why we're enslaved to the system. It's called a debtor's prison or hell. If you look that up in Black's Law 4th, I believe, it's hell is the debtor's prison. And yeah, that's what it is. It's called a performance debt. Don't think of money. Think of performance. In other words, contractual obligation. If you're in this status, you must perform according to their law and not God's law. That's the whole point. That's why they call it freedom of religion and not religious freedom, because you don't have the right to act on your religious beliefs. Don't think of, again, religion as a corporation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the things you see on TV or anything like that. I'm not talking about the things they debate. The atheist versus the Christian, that's all crap. It doesn't mean anything. It's empty. It's not talking about truth. You're literally debating an idol whether an idol exists, the image of God instead of the substance, nature itself, the universe. You're not debating ever anything. It's just an entertainment, right? So you're debating over nothing. And it's important to understand here, again, someone who's not a clergyman or a professional person is a common person. That's what they call us, the commoners, right? We're not the royals, we're not the landholders, etc. So when we go into, when we understand the foundation of this, well, before it was the United States, before it was America, etc., in the 1600s, when people started coming over here, they had what was called congregational churches. If you look up congregational churches, it'll help you understand that. And basically, they set up a church, or what you might call a storehouse, and that was the government. That was the self-governing people. People didn't come over here because it was the United States. That didn't exist yet. They came over here because they wanted to escape the tyranny of their own land, and they formed churches, and the churches were the center of government. They allowed religious practice. And as long as you were a good little boy or girl, and you didn't do harm to people, you were good. And see, that couldn't be. You can't have a secular world that's run by independent, ungoverned, illegal churches. No. You can't have that. Because remember, what is a church? It's a people. But in legalism, it's a corporation. It's a building. You see, and of course, what does the Bible say? Truth, or God, that which is built by the hands of man is not of God. In other words, the secular world is not the world of truth, of God. You gotta look at it that way, or you're gonna miss the whole point. The whole foundation of law is based on this. Not some guy in a white robe sitting on a cloud, not a burning bush, not whatever image you have, whatever idol you have of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the personification of God's law, logos. Okay, it's the law personified. In other words, you're supposed to follow Christ. You're not supposed to worship Christ. You're not supposed to treat Christ as God. There's many times when Christ says he's helpless. What do I do, Father? Right? Obviously, if God is his Father, he's not God. If he's helpless before God, he is not God. The whole point is that he's your example to follow. He is how, he is the law personified. You follow Christ, you follow the law. If you think of it as an idol, you think of it as a history, you're missing the whole point. And the law, the legal system, nations are built on that very concept. Because what is legalism? What is a nation but that which is opposed to nature? What is a legal law but that which is opposed to the law of nature, God? If you don't understand that, or you think I'm just spouting religion, or I'm trying to change your beliefs, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you this is how the damn system works. If you don't want to believe me, you don't want to trust the research I've done, and all the proofs, and all the citations, and all the... I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Don't listen to me. Read my work. Go read a dictionary or 20 like I have. Go read the Bible. Go look up every word in the Bible and understand what it means like I have. And then tell me that I'm blasphemous. I mean, anyway, secular. So we're talking about people who were governing themselves and had a storehouse or a place to congregate and share and decide things called a congregational church. It was a building, but the building was not the church. The people were. Okay, kind of like the people are the state, not a government. The people, the actual people. You are not part of those people. You are common. Something that is common belongs to government. So, secular as an adjective coming from 1300 means living in the world. We're on to etymology now. Living in the world. Remember, the world is not the when world is used in this respect, it refers to things created by man. Secularism, not spiritual, not belonging to a religious order. In other words, a people that practice religious freedom, not the freedom of religion, not the legal version, the anti-God version. That's what. You know, there are plenty of dictionaries and scholars out there have commented that legalism is the undoing of God's law, the undoing of the laws of nature. Everything in legal is opposed to the law of nature. That is very important to always remember, because when you say a word in the legal realm, when you're in court, when you answer a letter, anything you say as a person of the United States must be said legally, because you have no right to speak any other way. It's their system. It's their words. Remember, they define the words, not you. It's their system. They created your status, and you're volunteering to be in it because you can't govern yourself. And that's the whole point. It's a test. It's a prison for people who cannot govern themselves. Secular means belonging to the state, belonging to the people. In other words, something that belongs to man but is not man. You get it? That's secularism, New World Order. They have turned you into property by assigning you a status, you accepting it, and getting little benefits and monies and all the things that are against the law of nature. All lies. From Latin secularis, worldly, secular, pertaining to a generation or age. Now, you've heard the term novus ordo seclorum, the new something of the ages, a new order of the ages. Well, again, don't confuse age or generation with the true terms. A generation is something that is created, and that can be artificial. A legal law is something that is generated. We're in the age, the dark age, for instance, or the age of whatever, the Bronze Age. We're in the secular age, because before us you had kings and queens and kingdoms and people who were self-governing, or who respected a king or queen because they were literally as best as possible anyway trying to be godlike in a good way, not in a bad way. And I know that's hard to accept, but read a little bit, and that's how it used to be. And then it turned into what we have today, which is kings that claim to be gods and therefore have sovereign power over you. Whereas before, men only recognized God as their sovereign and never a king, but they would respect a king who acted godlike. Big difference. Big difference. Of an age, occurring once in an age, span of time, lifetime, generation, or a breed. In other words, they are breeding us to be slaves. That's what they have done, and we are already in that status, I'm telling you. To bind, to tie, that is secular. That's where we're at, folks. It also means to seed, well, to sow. Mankind. Remember, mankind is not man. Human is not man. Human means something belonging to man. So if you say you're a human, well, that means you belong to man. The world, again, secular, literally translates to the seed of men, that which is created and sowed by men, not nature, not God. In ecclesiastical writings, the Greek old aeon, A-I-O-N, means of this world. In the Bible, it's actually cosmos with a K, was the old word that they used for world. It was translated by the king. And cosmos, we'll get to in a minute, but it that term world, well, I'll just go down. And I got a lot of notes here, sorry. When we're talking about the word cosmos, which is Strong's Concordance G2889, if you want to look it up, some of those verses... The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. All right? What is world? Cosmos. But that doesn't mean necessarily space or the universe. It actually refers to, and I quote, an apt and harmonious agreement or constitution, order or government. Ah, order. ornament, decoration, adornment, in other words, that which is false, that which is a title or a person, the inhabitants of the earth, men, the human family, remember what human means, the ungodly multitude, that's all of us, because we have freedom of religion instead of religious freedom. We don't have the right to act on our moral beliefs, only to believe in them, which is pretty much makes us all hypocrites. By law, we're not allowed to practice spirituality. Literally, that's the law. That's the legal law. The whole mass of men alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. World affairs, the aggregate of things earthly, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which although hollow and frail and fleeting, still cause and stir our desires. They seduce us from God, in other words, truth, in other words, nature, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ, in other words, the law. Personification of logos, the law of the universe, the law of nature. Okay? So we get all these different verses. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's saying go out there to the ungodly men, those who are seduced, whose desires are stirred from all these earthly things, those things that are not of nature, and preach the law of God. It's beautiful if you understand what it's saying. It's such a beautiful book, and everything in it is self-evident once you know the language. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, the New Testament, the law of God is sent to us so that we may be saved from the secular world, which these people, these royal bloodlines have created for us to entrap us, to enslave us, to imprison us. That's why they give us money and reality TV and everything Hollywood. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Which world is that talking about? That's talking about the secular world, the world not of God. That's Christ speaking. See, all this makes a hell of a lot of sense when you understand the meaning of what New World Order actually means, new secular age. Get rid of God. Make people not worship nature, or for that matter, the nature of God. That's what it's all about. That's what legalism is, and that's what nations are for, to create you into a heathen, a goyim, a mercenary, whatever path you choose that is of this world. You see, that's what all these things are. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. How is Christ in you? How is Jesus Christ in you, folks? Because it's the law. It's the law of God. It's not a man. It's a metaphor. It's logos. Logos shall be in you. Logos means the law of God, the law of nature. That's the only thing that can save you. That's why religion is full of crap. That's why you call yourself a Christian and you're not practicing the law of God, which is Jesus Christ, the personification of law. You're fooling yourself. I'm not just pulling this out of my butt, by the way. I'm reading these from the Bible. I'm telling you that every single one of these refers to this word, cosmos. That's how it's in the concordance. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Well, do you think that's earth? Do you think that's nature? No, that's man's world, man's law. Legalism is that which is opposed to God's law. In other words, it is Antichrist. It is a replacement for God's law. If you can just understand that, you can understand every problem we have. We'll be back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN understands this concept better than you, now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. Now, before we go on, I know this is a short segment here. I want to explain something else so that when you read the Bible, you can understand why there is an old law, an Old Testament, and a new law, a new covenant, a new testament, and why they are very similar but not the same. One should not confuse the Old Testament and the New Testament. Most of the complaints about the Bible come from the Old Testament because that is the Jewish law, to be clear. And in order to understand that and why the Jews do not accept Christ as their quote-unquote Savior, in other words, they don't accept the new law, the New Testament, they only follow the old law because that lets them get away with all kinds of criminal activity, usury, and everything else that we're familiar with, I'm sure, on this station, right? They are a people. They are a state. They have their own thing. They have their own church, if you will. It's one of atheism, or at least 83% of them, according to the polls. So you have to understand that Moses was a law giver. So Moses was a law giver. And Moses, the bust of Moses, is one of the many lawgivers that are in Congress. The busts of the lawgivers are on the back wall of Congress. They're never shown to you because they include popes and Caesars, and Caesar was a title. They include Hammurabi. They include Moses. They include all these Justinian, all these fake people of history. And, of course, Hammurabi was in charge because he was the offspring of the gods, which he fully explains. It's going back to Babylonian time. So there's nothing of the New Testament on the Wall of Congress. There's only the Old Testament, the Babylonian law, the Jewish law, etc., going back to Hammurabi, again, the Babylonian law. That is their lawmakers. Christ, there's no bust of Christ on the law. And the difference between that is because Christ was the law. You're not supposed to, you don't think of Christ as a character. You think of Christ as the law personified into a story so that you can follow the story. Right? The problem with the legal law is there's no story. You have the dictionary, but no story. The problem with the law of nature, the Bible, is that you have the story, but you don't have a dictionary to go along with it. That's why I tried to accomplish in my book was to bridge those two things so that you had a dictionary when you read the Bible. You knew what the words meant. And in legalism, you have the story, which is your own story, unfortunately, of how you've completely been extracted from that system. The difference between Moses and Jesus is that Jesus is the law and Moses is a law creator, a man creating the law. That's the difference, right? That's why the bust of Jesus Christ is never going to be found as a lawgiver in Congress, because Congress creates the secular law, which is opposed to or anti-Christ. What does anti mean? And why is the Pope the Antichrist? Oh, don't. What does he mean? He means replacement. Secularism, the secular system, is a replacement for the spiritual system, the law of nature. That's what it means. So, yes, you can call the Pope the Antichrist because he claims to be the replacement of Christ. It's well known. We'll be back.
For Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.